The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right and the other on his left. Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied to him, "Amen, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we come to fulfill the sweetest of all the spiritual works of mercy, which is to pray for our beloved dead, especially our deceased loved ones and those who have no one to pray for them. We come here to pray with faith, because except for a baptized baby who died in infancy or a canonized saint, we simply don't know for certain the state of our loved ones after death. Jesus told us emphatically not to judge, and this means obviously not to condemn someone to hell we thought was evil, but it also means not to place in heaven someone we thought good, for only God sees the heart. And so, on All Souls Day and throughout the month of November, we pray for those who lived to our lives a good and holy life, who cared for Christ and the hungry and the poor, who died with the sacraments. We also pray for those who lived, by human impressions, a life far from God, His sacraments, His commandments, and who may have died in objectively sinful circumstances. We pray for them all, entrusting them to the mercy of God, knowing that in the communion of saints, our prayers and good deeds can, in fact, help them. First reading from the second book of Maccabees gives us a very good reason to pray for the dead. When Judas, Maccabeus, and his soldiers went to bury their fellow soldiers who had died on the battlefield seeking to defend the Jews from the Greeks who were trying to destroy their religion, they anticipated that they were going to be interring true heroes who had paid the supreme sacrifice for God and their people. But they discovered that under their tunics, each of them was carrying pagan amulets and idols. Only those who had had these idols, only those who had removed themselves from the Lord's protection and gone over to pagan gods, had died that day. But Judas had known that they were good men who had signed up against great odds for battle, but somehow, some way, had lost their path. Second book of Maccabees tells us that Judas and all his soldiers prayed that this sinful deed might be blotted out. Judas took up a collection among his soldiers, something that amounted to 2,000 silver drachmas, to send it to Jerusalem for a sacrifice in expiation for their sins. As the inspired author tells us, in doing thus, he acted in a very excellent, noble way, inasmuch as he had the resurrection of the dead in view. For if he were not expecting the fallen to rise again, it would have been useless and foolish to pray for them in death. But if he did this with a view to the splendid reward that awaits those who have gone to rest in godliness, it was a holy and pious thought. Thus he made atonement for the dead, that they might be freed from this sin. Likewise with our beloved dead, we never know if they might have been hiding some sins out of fear or weakness underneath their tunics. So we come here today to do something far more important than send 2,000 silver drachmas, about $1,300 at the time, in the equivalent of our money, to Jerusalem for a sacrifice of atonement. We come to offer to the Eternal Father the body, blood, soul, and divinity of His dearly beloved Son, in expiation for our sins, in expiation for the sins of our loved ones, and in expiation for the sins of the whole world. We come in the words of the psalm, lifting up our soul to God and asking Him for ourselves and for our loved ones to remember us in His kindness, to take away all our sin, to preserve our life and not let us be put to shame. We're uplifted by Jesus' actions in the gospel, taken from when Jesus Himself was dying to answer those very prayers. His first words from the cross, as you remember, were, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." A prayer that stretched to those in Judas Maccabeus' armies, to those who are hammering Jesus to the beams of the cross, to those we know and love, and to all others. And in His second word, Jesus made that desire for forgiveness quite personal with the good thief. When Didymus asked with faith to the crucifixion victim in the middle to remember Him when He entered His kingdom, to a man who would die before even Didymus would die, it was a sign that he recognized something different in that malefactor in the middle, that he would be capable of remembering him even after he breathed his last. And Jesus responded not just that he would remember Didymus, but that he would take Didymus with him. Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Today we ask for what the good thief asked for, not only for ourselves, but for our loved ones, for all those who have died. And because we, like Didymus, have faith in Jesus, we grieve our loved ones' deaths, but we grieve differently from all the rest, as St. Paul tells us in the Thessalonians in the second reading. We mourn our faithful departed because we love and miss them, but we mourn with hope, with a hope that Jesus will receive our expiatory sacrifice offered with faith today and apply these merits to the benefits of our deceased loved one if they're in need of our prayers and sacrifices. Pope Emeritus Benedict, in his 2008 encyclical on Christian Hope, described how our prayers for our beloved dead manifest that we Christians do grieve differently from all the rest. He said, "The belief that love can reach into the afterlife, that reciprocal giving and receiving is possible, in which our affection for one another continues beyond the limits of death, this has been a fundamental conviction of Christianity throughout the ages and remains a source of comfort today." All Souls Day is an occasion in which all Catholics are able to put into practice that fundamental conviction with a love that not even death can take away. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen.